This morning, she is with us to bless you in song, Miss D. Lee. And this song is by request. It's a kind of an upbeat, fiery song. And I think she will definitely bless you with this song. It's called He Laid His Hand on Me. And I am so thankful He laid His hand on me. Aren't you glad He laid His hand on you? It changed everything. So come on up, D. Don't be bashful. There's only 1.6 million views right now. Just by faith, church. Just by faith.
Well, he picked up dust and he threw it forward, and he made a man that could walk and an eagle that could soar. Then he sent for the light, said, "Let it be." And he made a star a starry night. He made the raging sea. And one day when I was walking alone, he laid his hand on me. He laid his hand on me. Well, he wrote the song that the songbirds sing. And he made the earth spin around the sun. Ain't that the coolest thing? He created a fish that can swim upstream, and he made some little tiny wings for the big old bumblebee. And one day when I was walking all alone, he laid his hand on me. He laid his hand on me. Words cannot tell it, 'cause it's better felt than told. The change he made in my life when he reached down for my soul. And when you hear the message from the man himself, you won't have to hear it from anybody else. He gave me a light. He said to let the thing shine. He gave me a bell. He said to ring it. Song he said, sing it. He's with me all the time. He gave me a hug that would bring me through all the trouble that I have down here and anything that makes me blue. 'Cause one day when I was walking all alone, he laid his hand on me. He laid his hand on me. Well, words cannot tell it, 'cause it's better felt than told. The change you made in my life when he reached down for my soul. And when you hear the message from the man himself, you won't have to hear it from anybody else. Well, he gave me a light. He said to let the thing shine. Gave me a bell, he said to ring it. Song, he said to sing it. He's with me all the time. He gave me a hug that would bring us through all the trouble that we have down here, and anything that makes us blue. 'Cause one day when I was walking all alone, he laid his hand on me. He laid his hand on me. He laid his hand on me. Yes, he laid his hand on me.
Come on up, singers. Hey, y'all that are with us this morning, stand up and let's just worship. The song was He Is Here, and we know that He is here this morning. And just worship alone this morning. Feel His presence. Give her the handheld. Oh, you going to help sing it? Oh, great. Okay.
Hear him come. just want it all, all fresh on me.
Felt that from home. My Lord. I hope some of y'all shouted right there in the living room. Good gracious. Y'all can be seated this morning. Thank you. Boy, that was powerful. Thank you guys so much. Oh, heal us one and all. Man, it's what we need is healing right now, isn't it? Man. We're going to talk about these four walls matter. And some of you watching may agree with this message. You may not agree, but it's the message I'm delivering, so that's what counts. This is what God's put on my heart. And I've been seeing a lot of Facebook posts lately, like I said earlier, about, you know, what's the big deal about gathering a church? Everybody's making a big deal about Easter, and, you know, people's doing drive-ins to try to make things work, and some churches are staying unlocked to make things work, and pastors are working really hard, a lot of pastors are, to make things work the best they can. And people are like, well, you know, just stay home. You can worship God reading your Bible, da-da-da. And we can. Yes, we definitely can. But there is an absolute scriptures to back up the importance of gathering together and worshiping God corporately. There are times we have times by ourselves. There are times that we have our own private prayer time, our reading time, our devotional time. But the four walls of the church do matter. And for those that are against organized quote religion or structured religion inside four walls, don't think really understand the importance of what the four walls represent if the church is being the church. Now, I know there are churches out there that have let you down. There are ministers that have let you down. This pastor here has probably let someone down in 17 years of pastoring. I get that. But God does not let us down, and God does not disappoint us. And in these four walls, something lies very important. The church stands for something. I want to use some examples this morning. You know, whenever you go into, for those of you watching, and those of you that are here maybe, and if you are a drinker, you like your liquor, okay? You like your beer. And I'm just being real, guys. This is who I am. I understand everybody's, you know, got their struggles and their battles. You like your beer, you like your liquor. You don't come to church to get that, do you? Where do you go get liquor and beer at? Yes, Mindy knows. Mindy was the first one to answer. ABC store and a bar. And so everybody knows what the ABC represents. And it's not Michael Jackson, ABCs, woo-hoo-hoo, 1, 2, 3. That's not what we're talking about. The ABC, everybody knows. In fact, the ABC store has been deemed as essential, right? They're still open. They're essential. ABC stores are everywhere, every small town, big town, multiple ones in towns. You go to ABC store to get liquor. You go to Food Lion, the big lion in the middle, the food and the lion, the big symbol of the lion. When you see that, you have great comfort and great peace. When you go to the beach and you check in your hotel, you're looking for a Food Lion, a Publix, a Kroger, a Walmart. You're looking for somewhere to buy your deli meat, your bread, your mustard, your beer, and your other things that are essential in your life, okay? You're looking for, now I got somebody else saying, man, the beer, that's good. I got the right crowd here today. We go to a grocery store to buy food. That represents a food place. You go to get deal with your money, you go to a bank to make deposits, to make withdrawals. That's the purpose of the bank. Every structure, every building has a purpose. The church also has a purpose, and the church means something. And inside these four walls, there are things bigger than us that this church represents. This is a place, honestly, it is for us. For all churches, not, I get this, but for Living Word, it's always been this way. These four walls at Living Word represent a place, no matter the color of your skin, your political affiliation, your economic background, your past lifestyle, or your present lifestyle, it does not matter to walk in these four walls. It is a place of common ground to where each of us in a world of darkness and sin and pain and disappointments can come together, and we can find hope and faith and healing and salvation and deliverance. It represents something. The church is bigger than four walls and mortgage payments and they just want my money. No, inside these walls, you know what we find? We find refuge. We find something that world outside the walls cannot give us. The ABC store can't give you what you find in here. The grocery store can't give you what you can find in here. The doctor's office can't give you what you can find in here. The government can't give you what you can find in here, inside these four walls. Hallelujah. It means something. The local church represents something bigger than us. And you know what that is? It's a holy God and His presence and who He is and His anointing and His healing and His touch. That's what happens. This altar, the reason that I refuse to do service from my home and why I drive 17 miles to church to preach to a very minimum, almost a non-crowd some Sundays and Wednesdays, is because that this sanctuary means something. This altar means something. At this very altar I'm standing on, there have been lives that have been saved and set free and delivered. There have been tears of mourning and weeping and joy. There have been tears that have changed people's lives as they're on their knees at this altar inside these four walls. That's why the local church cannot be minimized. Yes, you can worship God at a creek. You can worship God on the beach. You can worship God in a mountain. But we should never forsake the assembling of ourselves together as one body, one people, serving one God, one Spirit, one Lord, one baptism. It is important we are gathered here together. And I think the world knows that. And I think those that are against the church and people of faith also know the power behind people of faith and the local church. We get called names, right? Like ignorant or way back yonder or your yesterday's news or you don't have any understanding or you're leaning on a mythical God or a religious crutch. No, I am serving the only thing that really matters, because when the White House shuts down, the kingdom of God will not. When every president is gone, our King still lives forevermore. Hallelujah. That's who we serve. And that's the importance of these four walls. It means so much to me, the sanctuary and the house of God. It represents holiness. Do you realize this is the, and we're going to read scripture. For those of you that say, oh, the New Testament, just hang on. I've got you covered. I got you Old Testament covered. I got you New Testament covered about meeting together and the importance of that. But in this sanctuary, it represents the closest place. If y'all are hot, I think it's a little bit hot. It's just you. Everybody else comfortable? Okay, all right. Y'all can adjust that if you need to. This place represents the closest that we can come together to touch the presence of God corporately. When you see a church building, the first thing you should think about is God, the Savior, our redemption, our healing, our forgiveness. It represents something. I'm proud of the local church. I'm proud when people go down Jennings Road and we have this church sitting here and they have to pass that cross on a steeple every time they go by it. There's a cross staying there, and that cross represents something more than just four walls or a building. It represents more than organized religion. It represents why we have everlasting life. It represents why that we have forgiveness forevermore. It represents that all of my sins have been wiped away by the precious sacrifice of Jesus on that cross. And there's no mistaking about it. We have a lot of churches that don't want to feel like a church. They don't want to be like a church. They want to try to appeal and be a hipster thing or be a cool thing or be a fad or look at me in my skinny jeans and my polo shirt. I am the man and I am cool and I've got my Java sipping it at the podium on my iPhone. Look, nothing wrong with none of that if you're preaching Jesus. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But for me, and how I am, to me there's still something special, something sacred, something holy that God has called me to stand behind a pulpit and minister His good news to all who would hear. And we need to take this time of shutdown to get serious with God and return back to the sanctity and the sacredness of a holy God, realizing that our world can change in a moment. But man, His kingdom is open 24 hours a day. There are no restrictions. There is no shutdown. There is nothing closed. He has the joy you need, the power you need, the strength you need, the peace you need, the direction you need, the hope that you need. He has what you need. He is not out of it like the grocery stores are toilet tissue or water or anything else. When you go to God, yes, I've got it, because I'm the one supplying your need according to my riches in glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've got to get to scripture, because there'll be those of you watching saying he didn't even read no scripture. So I'm going to back up the word this morning. We're going to start in the book of Acts. Well, first of all, I'm going to start with this. This is Old Testament, okay? The word tabernacle, it means residence or dwelling place. It was also known as the tent of the congregation. And this was a portable, earthly dwelling place of God that was used by the children of Israel from the Exodus until the conquest of Canaan. So they were instructed to make this portable tent to carry with them on their whole journey. This tent was constructed of 4 woven layers of curtains, 48, 15-foot tall, standing wood boards overlaid in gold and held in place by its bars and silver sockets, and was richly furnished with the valuable materials taken from Egypt at God's orders. Moses was instructed at Mount Sinai to construct and transport this tabernacle with the Israelites on their journey through the wilderness and their subsequent conquest of the Promised Land. After 440 years, Solomon's temple in Jerusalem was then built, and it became the dwelling place of God. So the point is this. God thought so much about having a meeting place that He instructed Moses on their journey to construct this tent of the congregation. And this tent that they built represented His presence. It represented when the tent was put up and the horn was blowed, or the whistle was blowed, or hey y'all, it's meeting time. They knew when they came to that tent what they were there for. We are coming together to read God's word, to sing psalms unto God, to pray unto God, and to hear from God. So even then, on a journey, God thought enough of a local meeting place that He created a portable tent for them to carry. So that's Old Testament. Now, I heard what some of you are saying. It wasn't you, Doc. I know you agree with this message because you love me. But here is what some of you are thinking. Okay, that's Old Testament. We a new Christian church. And the Bible doesn't say nothing about big old churches and big old cathedrals. Well, let's just see what the Bible says about all that. We're going to be in Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Most of us in here know this, a very familiar passage. This is right after Jesus had ascended. He gave them instructions to wait on a promise of the Holy Ghost that would come. And look where they were in verse 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in what? One place. 120 of them, the Bible says, was gathered together in this upper room. 120 people. Well, that wasn't a church like we see today. Well, you know what? You don't drive the truck you did 100 years ago either. And don't you thank God for a microwave and a remote control for your TV and central air and electricity for some of you that's that old. Think about it. Here, they were in an upper room. This was a place where 120 were able to go and meet. And they were in this meeting place with one mind and one accord waiting on the promise. The Bible goes on to say that all 120, as the Holy Ghost filled that upper room, that it fell upon every one of them that were there. You know why? They were in one place. They were there together. That's the importance of corporate worship. That when we are here in this sanctuary together, that we are all in the same place. We are in the same atmosphere. We are in the same place where God's presence can touch us and fill us and even go from one person to the next. It can be transferred and bounced from one to another because we are in one mind and one accord. We are the corporate church. They were gathered together. Notice, they weren't separated. They weren't in different homes. 10 here, 15 here, 30 here, 5 here, 8 here, 3 here, 2 here. They were together in one place because it was important, and they knew they needed to be in the place together to receive the promise of God. Now let's look at verse 41 and 42, same chapter. This is after Peter had come out and preached that beautiful message of salvation. And verse 41 says, they gladly received his word, they were baptized, and the same day were added 3,000 souls. Now for those people I've seen on Facebook put, well, they met in people's houses. Well, they did, and we'll talk about that. They did. But 3,000 people can't meet in one house, can they? They got to have somewhere to go. 3,000 lives were changed. Where do they go? Verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and what? Fellowship. They remained in fellowship, which means they came together. It was important for God to have a place where his believers, his saints, came together. As a pastor, that's one of the things I hear the most. Pastor, I ain't got to come to church to be saved. No, you don't. You absolutely do not come to church to be saved. But if you are saved, if you are a follower of Christ, if you consider yourself a believer and a Christian, shouldn't you have a desire to be in his house? I mean, if I'm craving a steak, I don't just sit at home thinking about it. Man, I go get one. Sorry, Stacy. I go get one. Stacy's on the back row this morning, y'all. You know, she never, I don't know what that's about. She's on the back row. She must be really hungry at the door to serve us over. You don't just sit around thinking about it. You go to where the steak is at. You know, Mel is a steak lover. She loves steak more than I do. I just didn't have a good hamburger. She loves steak, all right? And so when Melanie wants a steak, she will pay for a steak. She don't care how much it is if it's a good steak. She really don't. And she wants to go and get herself a steak. So what do? You get up and you go to a steak house. That's where they serve steaks. And you get that. The house of God has a purpose. And though we are saved, and though we don't have to come to church, I just wonder sometimes, now for those of you that can't because of health reasons, is different. But for those of us that are healthy, why do we not want to come to church? You know, why don't you want to be in the house of God with other people that are believers? Do you realize, the Bible says iron sharpens iron, right? We help each other. You know, in this congregation at Living Word, and I'm not ashamed at all to say this because we are people and we are imperfect. But in this congregation, we have people sitting here, even this morning maybe, but definitely in this congregation, that fight drug and alcohol addiction, that have had a really hard life, that have been through divorces and have been through prison, have been in prison and been in all kinds of trouble, and they may not look like a church person that you want them to look like. You know, we got people that come to this church that, you know, are that look different, that, you know, pierced up, tatted up, hair different colors, and that don't bother you, Pastor. Don't bother me at all. That's not what it's about. This is an equal playing ground. That's what it should be. The church is an equal playing ground. It's a place where it shouldn't matter what you look like. You're here for the same purpose. We are here and we serve one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the common denominator. We serve one God. And that's all that matters. And each one that comes in has their story and has their baggage and has their issue. And they don't have a chance on the street if the church don't help them. That's what the church is for. It's a habitation of refuge for those who are broken, those who are lost, and those who are hungry. Those who are thirsty, God says, I'll give you drink. You're hungry, I'll give you bread. You're broken, I'll fix you. You're sick, I'll heal you. You know, I'll repair the brokenness in your life. This is what the church is about. So they received his word, 3,000, they continued in fellowship. Verse 44, all that believed were together. See that? They were together. All that believed were together. They wasn't spaced out doing their own thing somewhere. They came together. And during this time, we cannot allow the devil to shut down houses of worship to where people get discouraged. And people begin to just be comfortable in their living room watching church on TV instead of coming and getting dressed and being here. And for Living Word family, I have tried to set the best example I can by being here on location, by dressing up like normal I would on Sunday or Wednesday, and preaching from this pulpit. And our musicians and singers have been here. God bless them to continue to support me and help with the live service of music, to do things the best that we can to honor God during this time to the best that we can honor him. They were together. It's important that we are together. You know, we got to be very careful. You know, I heard someone, this doctor, say, and some of you may agree with this. If you do, I mean, that's your thing. But I'm just saying, we got to trust the Lord on some things. I've been pastoring 17 years. I've been in a lot of nasty situations with sick people, hospitals. You know, I pray for people. I lay hands on people. I go in rooms that are completely contaminated, and I'm there for them as their pastor. And God has always watched me and kept me, and I've never been sick from those things because God's presence is on my life. And I heard someone say the other day that handshakes may be a thing of the future. They may go away from, they're rethinking hand. How can you tell people they can't shake somebody's hand? They're idiots. Idiots, y'all. I'm going to shake a hand, I'm going to hug a neck, and I'm going to kiss just my wife. unless she's not looking. That is who I am. God made us to fellowship. God made us to hug each other and love each other. We were made for physical contact and physical touch. We were not created for social distancing. We were called to come together as one to worship the Lord. Hallelujah. And we need to trust the Lord through this process. You know, my daughter works at Food Line. Her boyfriend, Nick, who's with us this morning, by the way. Good morning, Nick. Works at Food Line. And I'm not worried about my daughter getting sick. I'm not worried. I prayed over my family. And I prayed over this church. And it's not an arrogant statement. I know things happen. I get that. But I'm not going to live my life in fear. And I don't worry one bit about my daughter coming home and going to die from a sickness. God's in her life. And God's on her life. And God is watching her. And God is with her. And God is in her. And I trust the God that lives in me more than all the numbers I see on the news rolling up and all the reports that I hear. Here's the report I believe right here. I believe this report. I believe that I am more than a conqueror through Christ, which strengthens me. That's the report I believe. I believe that neither life nor death, nor principality, nor angels, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature can separate me from the love of God through Christ Jesus. That's the report I believe. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In verse 46, he goes on to say this, they continued daily. I mean, we fuss about coming together one time a week. They were together daily. With one accord. And where were they at? It says, in the temple. This is New Testament after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. These are early Christians that are meeting at the temple on a regular basis. And what are they doing there? They are breaking bread also from house to house. And they ate their meat with gladness and with singleness of heart. They were all on one page together. Worshiping and meeting together. There's power in the local church. There's something about the local church. There's something about being here that is different than not being here. You find strength. You find encouragement. You find things you just can't find outside the four walls. And right now, we need that hope like never before. Acts chapter 20, verse 7 says this. We're talking about these four walls matter. Acts chapter 20. Verse 7 says this. Upon the first day of the week, this is Sunday in the new Christian church. You do studies on this, it is Sunday. It is not the Jewish Saturday, this is Sunday. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them to depart on the morrow and continued his speech until midnight. Y'all can't sit there. I'm telling you, man, I've got preacher friends of mine that they've done diagnostics and, you know, they'll say, man, if you go more than 33 minutes, you've lost them. And I understand that, you know, I can tell when y'all are drifting, I know. And there are times my wife says, look, you yapped a little bit too much at the end, you know, just let's get it out of here. Okay, I got you. But when the Spirit of God is moving, when the Word of God is being preached, you put a timetable on that. We can sit in a, we can go to, and I've been to a ball game, you know. I'll tell my kids about that one day. There used to be something called a football stadium. And we would go there, and we would sit in the stands and watch players in the field. Oh, are in person? Yeah, in person. But I've been to football games. And when you go to a Panthers game, me and Bill, we've been to one together, haven't we? Yeah, me and Bill have been together. You get there early, okay? You drive an hour to get to Charlotte. Then you drive another hour to find a place to park. Okay, so you've got 2 hours right there. Then you get there usually at least about an hour early because you want to get in, you know, maybe an hour and a half early. So now you got about 3 hours into it. Then the game is 3 hours, right? So now you're at 6 hours. And then you take another hour and a half to get home.
So you spend 7 hours of your life doing one event. But coming to church is a chore. Sitting here hearing God's word and being his presence, we start looking at our watch because it's 12:01. What are you doing, Pastor? It's 12:01. The galley's going to get filled. Well, here's the good news. There ain't no restaurants open, so y'all's is mine. Mine. It is amazing, though, what we will put effort into watching. How many of you out there watching, and you ain't got to say amen on Facebook, but how many of you have been watching Netflix episodes or series? Thank you, David, for being honest, and Stacy. I've watched 8 seasons in 3 weeks. Yeah, we can sit there for hours in our little bed eating our popcorn and just watching our little Netflix shows and just watch. Christian even talked about, good morning, Christian. Thank you for watching, baby. I love you down in Florida. She watched all 3 Iron Mans, you know, back to back to back and got all 3 in order, you know, all 3 of the Iron Mans, you know. We can do things we want to do, right? But when it comes to church, well, I got too much to do. That's my only day off. That's the time I do this. That's the time I get up and read my paper and drink my coffee and watch the Blue Jays in the front yard. Whatever. Just saying. It's pretty important, the local church, and we're reading how important that is. And we see here on the first day that Paul met the disciples together and they broke bread and they fellowshipped and he preached to them until midnight. Acts 12:12. Now here's for the ones that say you don't have to have a building to have church. You can have it anywhere. Well, you can, but you still have to have a location. Here's the difference. The real estate agent that said this is truly a genius, right? Location, location, location. It's all about location. You ever looked at property at the beach for sale? I did this week just for fun, just because there's nothing, absolutely nothing else in this life to do right now. So I get on Google and I start searching for houses for sale at the beach, you know. And I cannot believe, you know, 500 square foot, one bedroom, one bath, $300,000. You know why? Because it's on the beach. Location. It's right there on the beach. I saw lots for sale for, you know, 6 figures just for a tiny dime, no bigger than this platform, you know, $200,000 for a lot, because location. All throughout the Bible, location mattered to God. We started out in a fire department for the first 2.5 years. We met at Monticello Fire Department on Highway 90, and that was our church. That was our church. We had real microphones and real speakers and real people singing. And Matt Jammer was our first sound man with our little portable PA that we have in the fellowship hall now. We had folding chairs and we, you know, had little rugs. I brought a couple of fake plants in to dress it up a little bit. We made it the best we could make it. And for 2.5 years, that was our church. We had a little parking lot and a couple of little bathrooms and a little kitchen where the Sunday school class met. That was our church. The point is, it was a location. And in those 4 walls of Monticello, lives were changed. In those 4 walls, my daughter Christian and my son Jamie both got saved. In those 4 walls. Bob Shepherd, who's now with the Lord, got saved in those 4 walls. A lot of great things happened in those 4 walls of Monticello Fire Department in 2.5 years. God did amazing things. And out of those 4 walls, we had a good friend of ours, Ray Short, who out of those 4 walls was coming then and built these 4 walls that we are in this morning. The location of coming together matters. It matters. No, it doesn't have to be a big cathedral, but we do need a place to meet as Christians, whether that's a fire department or a school or a strip mall or a big house or whatever. It's important that we meet. So here we see in Acts 12:12, for those of you that talk about the new, they met in houses, and they did. It says this. When he had considered, let's read verse 11 first. When Peter was come to himself, he said, I know of surety the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod. He was in prison. Remember, they were praying for his release. And from the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered this thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. So yes, they were meeting in a home, and they were there praying for Peter's release. But the point is, they were together, and they were at location. Understand the time period. Culture changes. They didn't have Taco Bell back then. So because they didn't have a big church that looked like First Baptist, don't mean it wasn't supposed to be. It was the time period. The church had just been born. Jesus had just been resurrected. It was a brand new age of Christianity, of religion, of a brand new thing. And so it took a while for things to evolve. So they met in upper rooms. They met at the temple. They met in houses. But the point is they met. They met somewhere together corporately for the purpose of God. And then around 300 AD, churches began to be built all over the Roman Empire and everywhere else. Around 300 AD, actual churches, independent churches began to be built for the purpose of Christians having a place to go to worship. So yes, the local church matters. Yes, the four walls matter. Yes, what's under this steeple matters. But here is why it matters. Under these four walls, in these four walls, things are found here that we can't find in the world. Things like faith, right? There's no faith out there in the four walls. There's no faith. Everything changes. Everything dies. Everything leaves us. Everything forsakes us, right? There's no faith. We're going to face tribulations our whole life as we live this life. There's no faith out there. We find hope in these four walls. Hope. Hope the world can't give. Right now, we don't know what's going to happen at the end of the month. I got a feeling what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. And we are seeing things we've never seen in our lifetime. And like I said Wednesday, I've got my own opinion about a lot of things I'm seeing. But all I'm going to do is stay focused on what God's calling to do right now. And that's what I'm going to do. But you know what? There's not much hope right now for people. Christian got a call yesterday or day before that they're not going to finish out school. So she does not get to tell her kindergarten class goodbye. It's over for her. It's done. Don't get to tell her kids goodbye. You know, her world just, is that's her passion. That's her, she loves her children. She loves her kindergartens. And they're not going to get to tell Miss Lewis bye. It's over. Okay, so they're, you know, her hope for that in that part is over. You know, we see things that are closed. We see businesses that are losing money. We see some that will never recover. They'll never reopen, church. Some of them will never reopen again. And we're seeing them lose hope. We're seeing people, I know of two people in the last 2 weeks that have committed suicide. One lived, one died because they don't have any hope. Their 401 is crashing. The stock market is crashing. They've lost their job. They see no hope. And we have politicians and government telling us, well, I don't know. I've heard people say, we ain't going to do anything in 2021. I'm going to tell you something. I'll stop there. I'm just saying, people are losing hope. And you find hope in these four walls. You know, unless you find these four walls, you don't find the world. You find love. Yes. You find love. It don't matter what a person's skin color is. It don't matter if they're rich or poor. It don't matter how that. I know in this church, we have conservatives and we have liberals. I understand that. We have those that are rich, you know, well off. We have those that struggle day to day. We have those that are battling addiction. We have those that are in trouble with the law. We have all kinds of issues in our body. But you know what? What they find here is love. I'm an addict. Will you love me? Yes. I'm this. I'm searching for something. I've had people sitting in this sanctuary that have been drunk and that have been high. I've had homosexuals and lesbian couples sitting under this tabernacle, under this sanctuary, hearing the word of God. This is a place where we love each other. And the love's not based on what you can give me. It's based on what Christ gave you. Hallelujah. That's where the love is at. And you can't find that love out there. They will fire your hind end in a heartbeat if they want to. But thank God he don't fire us. He loves us and he don't throw us away. Something else you find these four walls is acceptance. Yes. You can't find that everywhere. Even some churches don't accept certain kinds of people. Right. They'll make you change how you dress. And they'll talk about how you look. And they'll say, now if you go join us, some things have got to be, let's talk about a few things. That doesn't happen here. I'm not the judge. I'm a messenger. I'm a shepherd. God is the one that's in control. And in these four walls, you will find acceptance that the world don't give you. If you need love and acceptance, these four walls have it. Something else that's in these four walls that's not out there most time is forgiveness. You can find forgiveness in this place. As you walk into here, it doesn't matter what you have done. I will say this, and everybody doesn't say this, but if we believe in the grace of Jesus, we've got to believe there's nothing too great he doesn't forgive. I don't care what you've done in your life. I don't care if you have cursed against God and called him bad names and rejected him and completely just denied him. The moment that you come to him and acknowledge him, and the moment that you say, Lord, will you help me? God, will you help me? Will you help this wretched, vile person? Most of us wouldn't help those people, but our God will. And in this church, there is acceptance. We had a young lady, and I won't call her name because we're on Facebook, but she shared it with our whole church, and you'll know who I'm talking about. A young lady about 2-3 years ago that had the courage to step up here. She sat in a chair. I gave her a microphone. She told her story of where she come from and what had happened in her life, from rape to drug addiction to abuse. And all the things she had done, her prison time, and all the things she had done, she opened up and shared her story. At the end of her testimony, I asked the church, "Do you still love her?" Of course, everybody, "Yes. Come show her you love her." And the whole church came, people weeping and crying, hugging her neck, letting her know, "Yes, you're accepted here. And we know you're forgiven from God, and we love you." You can't find that outside the four walls very many places. This is what the church represents, the true church represents. Something else you find, peace. Yes. You find peace in the four walls of church, right? You find peace. You know, I often wonder how many people that I don't know about may pull their car in our parking lot just to say a prayer. Maybe they're desperate. Maybe they're not even a believer. But they go by and they see this church and they're in a bad way and they pull in the parking lot or maybe go back to the cemetery. Just want to be on location just to talk to God because they need peace. And something about the cross gives us peace, don't it? In fact, Isaiah tells us that, right? The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And so we find peace in these four walls. We find a peace. This is why I'm not worried. You know, I've got money in the IRA. I've had money invested for years. And I was telling him the other day, I checked on it right before all this happened, and I'd broke a new threshold. I was so excited. Woo, man, I broke a new number. That's pretty good. Yeah. Then it started crashing. I ain't looked one time. Now, my friend Bill, like he says, a glutton for punishment. He stares at it every day, man, every day. You're going to go insane, brother. I ain't looking at it. I'm like, "God, I trust you. You're the head of the market. And you're going to make sure I'm taken care of in my family. It could go down to nothing, God." And that's what I started out with. That's what Job said, right? "I came to the world with nothing. And I leave with nothing. I came in naked, and I'll leave with nothing. I trust God to take care of me because my source and my supply is not in how I am vested. It's not in my portfolio. How I'm invested is in my God. I'm his child, and he's my father." Hallelujah. And that I trust. Joseph went from being a convicted felon in a prison dungeon to being the second in command of a nation. He didn't earn that. He didn't deserve that. It wasn't like, you know, the stock market got him there. He didn't earn his rank up. He didn't climb the corporate ladder. He went from a felon prisoner in a dungeon for 2 years and pulled out in a day and made second in charge of a nation because God was his God. And God is my God. So you find peace. So no matter what happens financially in your life, there's peace that can be found in the church. Strength can be found inside these four walls. Strength. Some of you are weak right now. You've lost your way and you feel so weak and don't know which way to go. God gives us strength by coming together. Because here's what happens. As you get talking to people, you'll find out, you know what? Angela struggles and has problems. Angela has problems? Well, she praises the Lord, and man, and she's so happy and excited and loves Jesus, and boy, she's got problems? Yeah. You know what that does? It helps you realize, wow, okay, I know God loves Angela because I see God on her, you know, and she's got problems too, and I got problems. You know the old saying, misery loves company? We really do, don't we? I mean, we really do. You know, Melly fights a physical disease in her life. You know, she fights this every day. And it gives Melly comfort to realize that there's millions of other women that have the same problem she does. But she's not alone. What happens when we come together, we realize I'm not alone. I've got people here with me that are battling and that are struggling. But we come together and we encourage one another and realize because I'm saved, because I'm Holy Ghost filled, because I'm Gail likes me to use this word, sanctified, doesn't mean that I don't have no problems. Oh, I've got battles. And your pastor has battles. Your pastor has problems. Your pastor has internal struggles every single day. And it gives me strength to realize we come together as one body. We're all in the same race. aren't we? Heading to the same goal and the same prize, and we are. Something else we find these four walls is direction. Direction for our lives. You know, we can, and I know, well, I can find out by, yes, you can find out by the creek on the mountain. Yes, there's time. I'm not discounting any of that. I just don't like what I've been seeing lately on Facebook. I feel like the local church and the four walls are being a little bit minimized. That, well, it's not that important. We can still worship. Yes, we can. Yes. But let's not minimize the church in case, you know, we can, let's not minimize the church on top of that. Let's realize there is importance in this church. That's why I opened it up last week for people to come by and pray if they wanted to pray in sanctuary. And they did. We had 7 or 8 people that came through that week and, by themselves and wanted to pray. It was a beautiful thing to have that moment to pray because this represents something bigger than us. I know it's a wooden altar. It's drywall walls and a ceiling. The power's not in this wood. The power's not in the walls. The power's not in the building. The power's in what's in the building. And that's his presence. And so a church does still matter. Something else, a couple more things. I'll close out with this. Something, 2 more things we find inside these 4 walls you can't find anywhere else. Is deliverance and healing. Oh, you know how broken people's lives are right now, how broken they are. And they try medication to fix their brokenness. When they're depressed, they take drugs. You know, if they're sad, they take drugs. If they're afraid, they take drugs. They got anxiety, they take drugs. They're trying to find healing and deliverance through that. People go to bars and drink to try to forget their problems. As long as I'm drinking, people sleep their lives away. You know, I sleep a lot because I'm depressed. I'm trying to heal myself through sleeping. I'm trying to deliver my, and none of that matters because when you wake up, you're still depressed. When you wake up, you're still sad. When you come out of the bar, you're the same person. When the drug wears off, you're the same person. None of that fixes it. None of that heals it. But people are searching for deliverance and healing. But in these four walls, there is true healing and there is true deliverance because when we recognize Jesus, who he is, that he is Lord and that he came and that he was bruised for our iniquities and that all of our transgressions was put upon him and by his stripes we are healed. When we discover that, we truly are made whole and we truly are delivered and we truly do have healing in our lives. And that's what these four walls represent. Something that the world can't give you. In this sad time we're in now, in this real odd time we're in right now of uncertainty, the church still provides some kind of stability. It provides some kind of, hey, normalcy, right? And that's why I'm here, church. That's why I'm not on my back deck, which would be nice with my cats all around me. I could be petting Oscar saying, Jesus loves you. Because Jesus is perfect. Yeah, it's a good one. I'm the cat's meow. Just kidding. Anyway, that's really bad, wasn't it? Too much catnip, yeah. But I don't want to be on my deck having church, man. I want to be in the church having church. I want to be here having church. And I'm so thankful that some of y'all are still coming and being here on location. And if nobody came, I can tell you this. I promise you, if nobody came, even my wife, if nobody came on Sunday or Wednesday, I would still be here by myself. I would play songs through the speakers, and I would preach from the sanctuary because this is where we're supposed to be as a church, not anywhere else where God put us. And I am thankful. One more verse, and this will be it. Hebrews chapter 10. Most of us know this verse too. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. It's very clear God wants us to continue to meet together. Yes. And to exhort. How can I exhort Stacy if she's not here? She's in her living room. I'm here to church. Well, Stacy, if you're, I know you can't hear me because we ain't on Facebook right now, but I hope I can exhort you. I hope you're getting exhortation right now as I'm preaching. Lord, let the Spirit go to Stacy where she's at and exhort her even though she's not even here to hear it. We need to be in this place to get what God has to give us. Just like anything else, we'll pile our buggies at Walmart overflowing and we'll hoard up because we think the end of the world is coming. but we don't see the importance of the four walls of where God's house is and filling our lives up with that. Because that's what matters. His kingdom will never shut down. His kingdom will go on forever. These four walls mean something. They represent something. Marjorie, Nate, y'all come on up here and get ready to play something. As she plays, I want to say a prayer for those of you that are watching, those of you here. I want to pray that during this time that God will keep our hearts connected to the local church. And that for some of you that maybe haven't gone in a long time, you've gotten out of church, that God will use this message to draw you back in when the time is right. He will draw you back into a, not necessarily this church, but back to a church, because it is important. Father, I pray that you touch our hearts this morning as we have read your word. Lord, things are shutting down, but I thank God that these doors have remained open. And God, these doors will remain open. God, the front door of this church will not be locked for whoever wants to come. We will be here. We will preach you, God. We will love you. We will exhort you. We will be a place of refuge in this time of uncertainty. We will be a place of hope in this time of despair. We will be a place of healing in the time of brokenness. And I pray you touch every heart that is watching, God, and that you fill their heart with a desire, that you will speak to them new revelation, that God, the four walls do matter, that the church represents far more than just a building. It represents who you are and what you're about. Feel the hearts of those out there, God. Let your Holy Spirit touch us this morning and fill us and overpower us with your presence. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Play a little something.
As I come into your presence.
Let's stand up this morning and worship this morning, church.
As the gates of praise.
If you're at home this morning, stand up and worship with us.
Into your sanctuary. Till we're standing face to face.
Yes.
I look upon your countenance.
See
the fullness of your grace.
I can only bow down and say,
you are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, heavenly Father.
Thank you for your presence, Lord.
Past the gates of praise.
We're in this sanctuary right now.
To your sanctuary. Till we're standing face to face.
I look upon your countenance.
I see the fullness of your grace.
I can only bow down.
Awesome in this place.
Feels good to be in church this morning, doesn't it? Man, love being in church. Y'all can be seated. We're going to do our offering at this time. And Margie can play something really happy, so you'll be happy when you give this morning. Let's pray over our offering. God, as we surrender our first fruits to you this morning, we are thankful that we have this place to worship you. We're thankful for your kingdom, God. As we sow our seed, we sow it with faith and with expectation, God, that you as our Father will supply our needs according to your riches and glory. Thank you how you're provided thus far during this time for this ministry. We are thankful for all those that are giving and supporting. And we pray, God, for your continued blessing upon this place as we give unto you in sacrifice and worship. In Jesus' name, amen. So they play something. If y'all have an offering this morning, y'all can come and put it in the offering plate over here.
We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord.
Alrighty, I'm so glad y'all came this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. And y'all tune in Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. We'll continue our series on faith stories, or stories of faith. And so we're excited about doing that, sharing all the things God has done in his word, and he'll do today as well. So, Father, I pray you keep each of us. We go our separate ways. Watch over us. Keep us safe from all harm, all sickness, all disease, all tragedy. Protect us, God, and go before us. And bring us safely back at the appointed time. I pray for those, God, that are worried right now about their needs being met, that you just show up in a special supernatural way, God, and supply their needs according to your riches and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Handshake and hug to all of you, Living Word. Love you very much. Very, very much. See y'all Wednesday night.